more intensely until, you know, global systems of infrastructure, food, water start to break down in ways that are hard to imagine for us right now. This all gets worse as things get hotter and hotter, driven by the fossil fuel industry, which has been lying. I think that's critical. Obviously, probably shouldn't say it in such an emotional way as what I've just said, because they're trying to be objective reporters. I'm speaking as a human right now, as a parent. But they need to, reporters need to start giving this whole context. This is part of the whole story.
We have 5 seconds, Peter.
Yeah. Anyway, do better, media, please.
Peter Kalmus, climate activist, climate scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, speaking on his own behalf, not on behalf of NASA. Happy birthday to Paul Powell. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Fighting for survival is such a boring...
This is Norman Solomon saying that you're listening to non-commercial, listener-sponsored, volunteer-driven community radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, I'm B.B. King. You know the guy that plays that guitar called Lucille. And when I'm in Portland, I get my blues from KBOO. That's 90.7 FM on your radio. Please stay tuned. They might play one of my records.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. That's 90.7 on your FM dial in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I'm Cecil Prescott. Today is Monday, the 30th of September, 2024, and I am so pleased that you are able to join us on this, the last day of September. I'm going to ask my engineer, I was pausing at the beginning because I was sort of like listening to the intro, and I was just wondering, did you hear who it was the artist who said, "When I'm in Portland"? That's what I thought. Now, isn't B.B. King no longer on this side of the earth? So, okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering, how he is still listening. But okay. But when B.B. King is in Portland, if you see B.B. King in Portland, you might want to visit your doctor. But in the meantime, thank you for being able to participate in this radio program. And whether you are alive or on another, or existing in some other form, this is the community radio station for you. And concerning that, I want to thank all of you who participated in our effort in recent weeks to raise needed funds to support the programming and the mission of this radio station. We thank you all for building a community that is strong and healthy and one which is able to meet the needs of our community and enable to reach out. So for all of you who have been supporters, we give you thanks. This morning is the 30th of September, as I mentioned, and a couple of things I want to announce. One was is that I noticed that the September 30th is recognized as a National Day of Remembrance. Each year, September 30th marks the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. Well, the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation originated in Canada. It was adopted in the U.S. as the National Day of Remembrance for those who attended Indian boarding schools. The day honors the children who never returned home and survivors of boarding schools, as well as their families and communities. Public commemoration of this tragic and painful history and ongoing impact of residential schools is a vital component of the reconciliation and healing process. So we recognize September 30th as a National Day of Remembrance. If you see people with orange shirts on today, you may want to approach them and have them share with you why it is significant for them and why it's significant for all of us. Well, moving on, knowing about our history is so important. And as we seek to move forward, it's important to know our history. And so National Day of Remembrance is important, especially in a nation where there is such an effort to prevent the accurate representation of history, as well as the effort to deny access to books and materials, as well as the ongoing efforts in school boards throughout the nations to eliminate truth-telling and the possibility for students to have an accurate or complete or more complete account of history and the world we live in. And then we're able to go forward. For those of you who might have listened to the programming before our programming, Democracy Now!, one of the last things they covered this morning was the fact that climate change is something we should know about and how we are unable to accurately, those who are politicians, to accurately talk about those issues. And despite the fact that many politicians say we'll follow the science, many are not, because they are following the money for where their campaign can be supported. Let me remind you that our numbers are 503-231-8187. Today is the 30th of September. If you have a call, a comment, let's give us a call. It's early on in the program. Let's go to a caller who called, and it is Santiago. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad that we're at least talking about the Indian boarding schools, because the fact of the matter is you're correct on the idea that that a lot of history is hidden from is very much hidden from a lot of the American populace. But I think on an even grander scale is that, you know, it's like we do a lot of these things for the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. But what I find more striking than anything else is that, like, they're, you know, and it's might just be due to the fact to the way our, you know, liberalism works.
Yes.
But we're not discussing how we can actually give control of these lands back to the indigenous people, because a lot of the excuses that I hear from both Democrats and conservatives is like, well, why would they even want the land? It's destroyed. You know, like, what would they even do with it? Everything's changed. And it's like, the way that colonizers look at the land is, or have a relationship with the land as commodity.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, us indigenous folks, we view land as ancestor.
Mm.
And if you think about having a brother, a sister, a father, or a mother who was kidnapped and tortured and beat up and essentially just like, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, like farm for parts,
yes,
you know,
yes.
and you could get them back, even if it's just a piece of them, even if it's just what time you have left, as your mother or father, somebody you love, you would want that person back.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter. And I think that that's what, and I think that it's like this whole obfuscation of like, where, you know, where the land is just a dead thing.
Hmm.
You know, it's just this bundle of potential waiting for the chosen people. And it's like, we were working it for thousands of years before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same lie that they tell about Palestine is that that the land was barren, that there was nobody here, that nobody was using it, and that, you know, that it was only through the ingenuity of the colonizers that now we're making something of it.
Right.
And it's,
yes.
It's, yeah.
I think,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you raise a very important point that we often don't consider, and that is, as you said, as opposed to viewing the land as commodity, viewing the land as ancestors. And I think that's a very important point in terms of how we approach and engage with the land. And so the colonizers, the Westerners, we just feel free to just ignore that aspect. And I think those different ways of being with the land, with the earth, is insightful.
Yeah, and you know, and I think this whole idea, you know, and I know this isn't you, but you know, but like this is more of like a liberal, mm-hmm. and I mean big L liberal, mm-hmm. not like Democrat, because this encompasses both. But the idea that this is a nation of immigrants, like, this is the excuses that you make when, you know, when your all-white utopia is no longer a possibility. You know, because when the Anglo-Saxons made their way to their shores, you know, they proposed that this land would be more like a European Shangri-La.
Yes.
You know, they wanted like a utopian, they wanted an all-white utopian vision for what this place would be. But, you know, over the centuries where black and brown folks have progressively clawed back, you know, what little meager reforms we have to be able to live in some semblance of peace and dignity, those were clawed back. I mean, literally, I mean, sweat, blood, and tears, all given to give us the very few things we have. But it's like this lie that the establishment tells us. It's like, we're a nation of indigenous people that was slowly and surely occupied by not only like Western, not only by Europeans, but by European thought. And, you know, there's a lot of folks like, oh, you know, what about the black folks? It's like, well, you know what? A lot of black folks were brought here under threat, and so I don't really count that because, you know, there's a lot of ancestors who just they were brought here against their will, and when given the chance, they sided with us.
Right.
You know, like the you know, the black folks in Florida who hit out with the indigenous people of the Everglades and fought against Andrew Jackson and made him and drove him crazy till the day he died that he couldn't exterminate all of us. You know what I mean? Like, it's a sure. Anyway.
Well,
point
thank
is,
you.
Like, we're
yeah.
not. We're not a nation of immigrants.
Right.
We are a colonized nation that uses that as an excuse to continue imperial plunder in an intersectional fashion.
Hey, thank you so much, Santiago, for the mm-hmm. way you express yourself and for getting our conversation started this morning. I appreciate you. Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and next let's talk to Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. You have such a rich convergence. I seem to be going back to back with Santiago, and I really appreciate what he has to say. And the extraordinary thing is, today I'm going to get to see my great-grandson for the first time.
Oh,
he's great. Actually, his father was one of these people that Santiago was talking about, with a background being African-American from Mississippi, and then another part of his family in Florida with the Savannah, with the native tribes in Florida. And unfortunately, he got a kind of zigzagged because of his height and all that into a career that plummeted seriously with the Dallas Cowboys. And hard to go into all this sure. because it's been kind of recent for my granddaughter mm-hmm. to deal with the fact that she thought, well, to overcome the grief of what had happened with her father, that she would have a son that she could raise the mm. correct way, the nice way, the warm way, the compassionate way, the nurturing way.
Yes.
Because when I think of my own experiences variously as a reading teacher, one of the most heartbreaking things that I had recognized when I was working at Job Corps, what kids would come in, Native American kids from the one young man, and I'm handing him out the literature. Sometimes teachers don't really see what this literature is, that there's a money-making kind of thing with a writing company that they send schools and they get money for the worst books. That who would want to have to read this book when a Native American kid mm-hmm. goes to a boarding school and it's going to be read a whole history about what is a great thing? And so, I mean, the, right. some of the books out there have twisted it around to make it seem like a romance. Mm-hmm. And right. I've got friends over in Warm Springs, young women that have gotten their minds so twisted with depression and drugs and alcohol that they have these beautiful kids that the grandparents have to raise. Mm-hmm. And so there are mm-hmm. the grandparents trying to maybe figure out what the heck happened and right. to be so shell-shocked that when I took that same granddaughter of mine up to a powwow up in Celilo Falls, where it used to be some of the biggest, hugest run of salmon that you couldn't eat,
right.
that it would be a powwow, and now it would be all destroyed, and it would be in a little armory, a tin armory. So then you find Native people doing powwows and wearing the Native dress,
yes,
and trying to restore and so on. So I'm saying this, yes. this situation of the colonized their mind, and then the school book, who wrote the book, The People's History? If you go to school in Eugene, you'll read that book, The People's History of the United States, right?
Yes.
But my nephew, he go to school in University of Chicago.
Yeah.
They'll never hear of it. But anyhow, thanks for keeping the conversation going, because too much stuff is swept under the rug, turned around, upside down, and it's going on and on and on to the nines. Very serious.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Janet, and I hope you have a good visit with your great-grandchild today. Thank you.
Right on.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. If you'd like to call and share, give us the digits, 503-231-8187. In the meantime, let's hear what Lenita has to say to us this morning. Good morning, Lenita.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you for this topic of remembering our indigenous ancestors and those whose land that we build our houses on and we drive on and ride our bikes on and walk on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reminded of how many African Americans thought they had native ancestry and then they put their DNA into these ancestry sites.
Right.
And they drilled down that the aunt or great aunt that had straight hair, that mm-hmm. had different features, it wasn't because of the native ancestry, it was because of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So they would go through lives and they would tell their children, oh, you know, you
yes.
you part Blackfeet or Cherokee, especially those from the South, because, you know, that's where the Cherokee Nation had a lot of their land stolen
yes.
from, right?
Yes.
And the other person mentioned Florida with the Seminoles. You got to have love for the Seminoles because that's one of the few Native tribes that never signed a peace treaty with the United States. They're mm. still in, actually in a state of war.
Mm.
But I'm just thinking about all those Black folks, again, who put their DNA in ancestry sites.
Right.
And they come with the harsh realization that their ancestors
was not Cherokee.
Were, right, not Native, but because of rape and slavery, that's yeah. how, that's why the great aunt looks that way.
Well, I mean, I think that's such an excellent point that I had not thought about, was that how we reshape our history maybe not consciously, but in a way to cover over some of the very terrible, horrible parts. And so, no, you know, your great aunt looks like that, not because, you know, there was some romantic encounter with natives, but it was because of rape. It was because of slavery. And that's very harsh, but it's a reality we have to deal with.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really always thunderstruck how many people in the South are so pro-Confederate and pro-Trump when if they really looked in their genealogy, they would find out they got a little something in their buttermilk. I don't, and the old saying that you got a little fly in your buttermilk, I don't like that saying because a fly is not necessarily the cleanest animal
oh.
on the planet, but they got a little berry in their applesauce, right?
Okay.
Because of slavery, and that there were ancestors that they have that's in their blood that's black.
Right. Well,
but I don't want to take off. I know this is a day of remembrance,
no,
and it just breaks my heart when you look at those ancestry records
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that you see sometimes our past ancestors are listed as inmates in these homes and in
yes.
these orphanages. You know, they would call them inmates.
Yes.
And that's heartbreaking. And also, if you go back, one last point, if you go back and look at your ancestry records, you could see that during the late, it was like it was 18 something, right before 1900s, they would have all the natives had to sign in to the U.S. government.
Yes.
You know, so can you imagine that, having an ancestor that is on record having to sign a statement or turn, you know, a census roll with the U.S. government only because they were native?
Yeah, wow.
So remembering all of this, it puts a another wrinkle in September 30th. So I will appreciate
okay.
all the things you do, Cecil. You have a wonderful day, and your listeners, thanks for supporting KBOO.
Hey, thank you so much, Lenita, and for sharing your wisdom. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 30th of September. And if you are listening live, it is approximately 8:22 a.m., you may give us a call and join in our morning conversation. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We began our program this morning by acknowledging and recognizing September 30th. 30th as a day, national day of remembrance, in which we recall the horrific treatment of many indigenous people in boarding schools in our nation and in Canada. Today, to reflect on the trauma of Indian boarding schools and how that trauma continues to impact indigenous peoples today, our callers, Janet Santiago and Lenita, expanded on the theme by exploring how it continues to impact us today. Our callers shared about the way in which our history is not taught to us, how we have an inaccurate view of history and somewhat romanticized view of history, and if that is a word that is too strong for you, maybe a less accurate understanding of history. Lenita mentioned the story that many Black Americans hear about their families and their ancestries, about indigenous ancestry, and she pointed out that a lot of modern day African American ancestors may not have been indigenous people, but may have been European rapists. And Janet talked about her time and visiting her great grandchild this year, and also some of the challenges that indigenous people continue to face. And we began our conversation this morning with Santiago, who laid down some truth for all of us to share and to reflect upon. So on this September 30th, National Day of Remembrance for Indian Boarding Schools, let us commit ourselves to learning more and to work into healing this land that we live on. I'm struck by the words that Santiago reminded us in saying that indigenous people see land not as a commodity, but land as ancestors. Different ways in which we approach this place that we live in. So let me hear some of your thoughts, probably on this National Day of Remembrance, or we can also expand our conversations. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And a couple of things that we may want to also talk about in addition to National Day of Remembrance. I understand that tomorrow will be the only debate between the major party vice presidential candidates. That will take place on Tuesday between Governor Walz and Senator Vance. And you might have some thoughts about that and what you expect to hear. What are you looking for in terms of policies, or your views? Will you listen to it? Will it determine the way you vote? Or is it something you just gather with your friends and family and eat popcorn and laugh at the candidates as they stumble over their words as they seek to influence the... I think the last time I looked, there was actually 78 people in the United States, registered voters in the United States, who are undecided. So, you know, the 78 voters in particularly in swing states, that's where the candidate's going to focus their attention. But in a serious manner, what are the issues that you think that the vice presidential candidates will address? And more immediately, for those of you who are concerned not only about the federal candidates, but also about your local candidates, statewide candidates and local county, city, town elections that are happening many things are happening. What are some of the concerns that you have for your county commissioners candidate, city council candidates, mayoral candidates here on KBOO? We've been have the opportunity to have a daily program for candidate forums called Running on Air, in which the candidates for Portland City Councils have a chance to share. But what are some of the questions you have? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. But let's hear from Arthur, who has some thoughts to share with us. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Cecil. It seems to me that Biden, Harris, Trump, et cetera, have learned nothing from the way the Native Americans were treated in this country. The way they support the slaughter in Gaza without even a second thought. It's like humanity is not the same to them as it is to me and you. But anyway, I'm going to hang up here and let you consider that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Arthur. And I think it's important to hold those people, to hold them accountable and how they consider people. I thank you for also making the connection between Gaza and the United States history in terms of treatment of indigenous people and what happens when money and power and colonizing takes place. Thank you, Arthur, for your call. And our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's hear from Joan.
Hi there. Thank you for your program.
Good morning.
Rachel? Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Yes.
Good. I have something to add, maybe.
Please.
Okay. When people talk about, and you're going to hear about it on the debates, what makes America great, you know,
mm-hmm.
a long time ago, it's early 2000s, someone made the comment that what makes America great is the land itself. We've never had a famine here. Of all the countries in the world and all the regions, we've got beautiful, beautiful land, which people are in the process, some people are in the process of not respecting
right.
and destroying what actually makes America great, which is that it supports the people who live on it. If you're looking at it as Turtle Island, I'm not Native American, but I really like the idea of Turtle Island
mm-hmm.
and that this beautiful place must be protected
yes.
and respected for what it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's what makes America great is the land itself.
The land itself. That's
yeah.
that's a fundamental point. Yes.
It's not the inventions and all the stuff. It's what was here to be in the beginning and will be here forever unless we mess it up. And I'm thinking of that in relation to Hanford and yes. really the awful mess that's being made of something which is irreplaceable.
Right.
That's
right.
my comment.
Thank you so much. I think it's an important comment that you make. What makes this country great is the land we live in, and you remind us of an earlier comment that a caller made in terms of we should protect and honor the land. Let's go to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. See, so what a great discussion. September 1st was actually Anti-War Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, not too well known at all in the United States. It's known more in Germany. It commemorates Germany's attack on Poland.
Poland, 1939. Yes.
People need to reflect on this perpetrator-victim inversion. It was Germany that invaded Russia three times in the 20th century. Russia did not invade Germany. And yet there is a great Russophobia, a great anti-Russia sentiment in Germany and, of course, in the United States, which really distorts our perception. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, peace is a risk and a venture, and it cannot be found on the way of security. this is such and such an important teaching. We seem to be awash in false thinking, false doctrines, like preparing for war is the only way to peace, that the state is necessary because people are evil, and the state therefore must be a punishing state, and that democracy is outmoded, and that the UN and the UN Charter are not an authority to which we must submit. It's very vital for us to counteract this false thinking.
And what is the false thinking?
Which is related to white supremacy, exceptionalism, to our conformity. You know, we're taught be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we should be a people of resistance, even though resistance seems to be
it is not
crushed or ridiculed,
right.
Made impossible.
Well, you remind me, and I think our listeners, in terms that the struggle for justice is ongoing, and that what is important is for us to continue to do so in spite of the overwhelming forces that seem to want to overpower us. No, resistance is not futile, and that there are things that we can do.
Resistance is part of our nature, just as antibodies are part of our bodies.
Thank you so much. Great, great points. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our caller Mark just shared some of his thoughts on terms of, and these are my words, not the words of Mark, in terms of how to resist the empire. Let's hear what Tangent has to say. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm every time we hear this myth, I'll call it. I don't like narrative. Those usually these things are lies. But Israel's right to defend itself. I just am thinking, well, they sure are using their right to offend themselves. God, it's like pariah. They call break wind pariah. That's dedicated to Netanyahu. So I just like to play with some terms here. A lot of times there's words put around like imperialism. Well, we could call that monarchism because the imperials are, and there still are some, monarchs.
Correct?
Yes. And then there's terms like warmonger. Well, that's a war seller, okay? Monger, a fishmonger is a fish seller, okay? All right, there's just these things. But anyway, on the idea of defense or offense, then we could call instead of the DOD, it could be the DOO, the Department of Offense, because that's mostly what they do. I think that's mostly it. I really like that poem that, yeah, it's almost by Bonhoeffer, that quote, that yes, in fact, it is, it might be a risk, but I think certainly worth taking. And it's not going to be found by, like, building walls around yourself with bombshells or, you know. One last thing. What was it? Hang on. Santiago and cheers, Santiago and Robbie, all my brothers out there. He mentioned a few weeks ago that we're living in uncertain times, and I heard this French scientist saying that, this is months before, but it reminded me, he said, science is based on uncertainty. And he goes, I know it sounds strange, but really, if you think about it, we're looking for things that we don't know, okay? But mostly what they'll tell you is that this science is what we know, but of course, they're always, always searching for things what they don't know.
Yes.
Okay, one last thing real quick. To explain this Trump phenomenon a bit, I can't really, you know, I'm just for people... I think it will help. because I was in a Buy Mart yesterday, and there's a woman, a very elder woman, who has encouraged me to vote, one, because I may have mentioned before, I haven't since 2000, but I am very seriously thinking I better get in this thing. And I will vote for Jill Stein, by the way, the only sane candidate and peace-loving person that I can hear. Okay, so but this we so I said now that she was for Kennedy, okay, and this is a few months ago. Then he dropped out. So I said, now that he's dropped out, what are you going to do? He's supporting Trump, and she just shakes her head like I don't know where that guy was.
Mm.
Okay, but okay. The woman next, the checker now, get this, not just a shopper. She goes, well, at least he won't lead us into socialism. I just go, okay, you know,
okay.
Slow down, because
okay.
This is volatile, and that's crazy in a retail space for people to actually get political like that. But I just quietly said to this elderly woman, yeah, you know, airports, that's socialism. Schools, that's called socialism, okay? Many people pay for what many people can enjoy.
Thank you.
Uncertain isn't bad. Let's just work for peace.
Oh, that's right. That's a good way to conclude. Let's work for peace as a way in which to create a better world. We have heard from a number of callers who have opined about this issue in terms of who we are as a nation and who we are as individuals, as a world. September 30th, National Day of Remembrance, in which we acknowledge those who were forced to attend Indian boarding schools and the horrors they endure. So on this National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, let us examine ourselves and our history with eyes wide open, fully and honestly. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And as one of the callers mentioned, what makes a nation great is the ability to receive and to speak truth. Sometimes difficult, but I think it is beneficial for the transformation of people and for the land in which we live in. We began our conversations this morning with one caller, Santiago, who I want to quote him again, who was talking about how we view the land, different ways of understanding the land. And a point he, Santiago made was for indigenous people, the land was viewed as ancestors, as opposed to land as commodity, which the colonizers viewed land as. And so different understanding of reality, indeed, of the world altered the way, impact the way in which different people's groups encountered one another. But let's hear some of your thoughts. I also mentioned if you have thoughts or concerns about the city council or mayoral candidates, what are some questions you would like to see answered? But let's hear some of your thoughts. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's hear from Francis. Good morning, Francis.
Hi. Truth and Reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
I listened overnight to the stories about the people in Lebanon now.
Yes.
And yes. Gaza. And
yes.
The horror, literal horror, that the children are going through over there.
Yes.
And when
yes.
I listen to the pundits during the day,
mm-hmm.
they talk about war plans and what's successful and what isn't successful. They don't once mention the civilians who are being harmed
right.
as they speak.
Yes.
And I really resent the fact that in order to protect our rights here, the women's rights, our voting rights, to maintain those in this coming election, we have to pretend or ignore the fact that our government is complicit in genocide. And it's the same old story. And I really, really, really appreciate Jill Stein. I know she has no chance of winning the election. And it should not be like that. And I don't understand how in 2024, well, I do understand. It's all about the military-industrial complex. It's come to that, as far as I'm concerned. Because there is no reason in this earth that these grown people can't sit down and resolve some conflict about property and land and who owns it and who doesn't own it. Nobody owns the land, actually.
Oh, going back to, yes.
If you want to appreciate our Native American history.
So
they can't sit down and resolve these things without dropping bombs on babies. I don't understand that, and I never will.
Well, let's go, because I think you raise a very important point, that the horror that these children, these innocents, are going through, the trauma that they are experiencing, that the civilians are being harmed, and
little babies with no feet. That her hair's burned off and they'll never go back again. I mean, what kind of pain is that for a child? And we're just pretending like, oh, well, who are we going to vote for president? Who's going to stand up and tell the military industry we don't want to play that game anymore and find another way to make money?
So what do...
That's where I'm at.
So what do we do, Frances?
That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking, I'm hoping that.
Yeah. Well, I think you.
If Harris wins the election, there at least will be an environment where these discussions can continue. Where we can at least talk about this stuff. But I don't know, because the people who, Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman were ousted out by their fellow Democrats because they were standing up for Palestinian people.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
Well, I appreciate you and for just acknowledging these things. And I think the more that people raise their voices and speak out and saying...
It isn't about whether somebody's a socialist or a Marxist or a Democrat or a Republican. It's what... Human decency.
It's human decency. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Take care. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on community radio station KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we have had some very good conversations this morning with people reflecting. We began by acknowledging that today is a National Day of Remembrance and Acknowledgement, recognizing the trauma that many indigenous people face by being forced to go into boarding schools in the United States and Canada. We've expanded that conversation by talking about how we view the land, how we view one another, and making connections between justice issues here in the United States and making connections with what is happening in other parts of the world, particularly in, Lebanon, as well as Gaza, and these are my words, the expanding destructive force of imperialism, of colonialism, and how it continues to destroy human lives, ending up with the observation from our last caller, Francis, who made the true observation that in this election cycle where so much words are being said, but so little emphasis is placed on the impact that war has on innocent civilians, those who are not warriors, but will suffer because of the bombs, the trauma they will experience, physical and mental, the destruction of communities, and the legacy. Very few candidates for in the U.S. Elections are talking about these deeper issues. While Francis is hopeful if one candidate is elected president, that will create a space for continued conversations. We don't know. I don't know. We'll see what we can do. What are your thoughts? Are there thoughts or considerations you have about this generally, and particularly are there thoughts in terms you also have for your local candidates that you would like for them to address? I'm interested. What are your thoughts? Give us a call, 503-231-8187, and become a part of this conversations. And going back, what makes the United States great? And I'm not sure who came up with that phrase, but one caller reminded us, it's the land itself. It's how we treat the land, and if I may add, it's how we treat one another, which is the defining point of a society. It includes the people, the place, and how we organize our society, how we organize our world. Those are questions that we need to ask and need to think about moving forward. Well, we have a few minutes left, and I want to invite you to give us a call and share some of your thoughts, if you have any thoughts about some of the things we talked about today. And also, are there issues that you would like to see our candidates address? 503-231-8187, and if you give us that call, we will join in the conversation. So our engineer is there to pick up your call. Be very nice and kind to him. He's trying to make sure the lights are on, all the things are connected, and I am so grateful. You hear my voice, but behind me, it's amazing what happens. It's sort of like doing a radio program. It's sort of like it's like what they say about you enjoy eating sausage, but you don't want to see how it is made. So, yeah. I admire and grateful for all the people who do the works to make sure that radio happens. But what are your thoughts? We only have a few minutes left. If you want to share a little bit more wisdom about the election cycles, what are some of the issues and questions you have? You know, there are in Portland itself, there are many candidates running for city council, and so there are many opportunities. Many community groups are having forums and opportunities where you can meet the candidates. I get inundated daily with emails inviting me to participate in forums. So just check out your local groups, your community groups, action groups, political groups, labor groups, unions, businesses. Everyone is having opportunities for you to learn and hear about the candidates. And also think about the issues that are important to you and to your neighbors. And are you speaking with your neighbors? You know, this election is going to be different from than many elections in many ways. Not only because it's a national elections which will impact our nations, but local elections impact the way we organize our local communities, our cities, our towns, and indeed our states and our counties. So what are some of those issues that you have for them? You know, and I must be honest, in the news about the elections, I often overlooked some of the candidates and some of the offices that we have to vote for. And so when I receive my ballot, and I assume and within the next couple of weeks, whenever it comes, there's a lot yet to do. So fortunately, for those of us who live in Oregon, we have the opportunity to sit at our kitchen table and to fill out our ballot, to have the opportunity to think and to talk with your neighbors. So how do we do that? And especially in a season where we are so divided as a nation, as community. How is it possible to have honest, sincere conversation with your neighbors, your family, and your friends? You know, that person who has that lawn sign promoting a political candidate that you cannot possibly imagine anyone would vote for? Well, what type of conversations, or do you have conversations with those who are differing, who hold different political views, and how do we encounter those things? Let's hear what April has to say. They may have some wisdom to impart. I know they have wisdom to impart. April, share with us.
Hi, Cecil. Thank you for your show. I don't know about wisdom. I do have a comment. The last couple years anyway, mm-hmm. I've come to the conclusion that local races are a lot more important than the president. Actually, they oftentimes say they do different things, but my quality of life is about the same under any of them, and I think that really depends on what your quality of life was in the first place.
Right. So.
But the main thing I called to say is, speaking of quality of life, I tried to get on subsidized housing for 11 years in Multnomah County, and recently had to move out of the county, and I'm really realizing for the first time how many of your shows are really Portland-centric.
Yes.
And I would really like to be involved in local politics, but I don't know much about it, and I would really enjoy learning more.
Excellent.
And KPU doesn't really seem to provide that information, which is
great.
Disappointing.
Which community, where do you live these days?
I live in Cedar Mill right now, which is actually just a few blocks from the Portland city line.
Right, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you... I think that's an important observation you make, and let's see how we can expand the way we cover issues. So I appreciate it.
That would be awesome, and I really appreciate your show, Cecil, not just this morning, but always.
Oh.
You have good things to say.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, April. You have a great day.
And you're welcome.
Okay, and all of you, let's talk to our neighbors. I know I really don't like that person, and that person, I don't, you know, they walk their animals too early, and you know, this, but we live in community, and we have to find ways to speak and hear and work together. So, as we prepare for this election cycle, I'm sorry, I'm just going off, and Robbie wants to speak. Robbie, I'm so sorry, I didn't see you.
Oh, no, please. I loved listening to this entire show, everything you brought up and all the other speakers. I just wanted to bring up there is there's groups associated Arab Americans who are contemplating calling for, this is a article I'm reading, but they're wanting to boycott the election.
Okay.
I think that statement is very important one. So I was thinking, you know, maybe, you know, I just wanted to bring that up for people. You know, what do we do? How do we stop this war machine? And, you know, a boycott of something. If, you know, clearly people...
We have to go. Thank you. Hey, thank you so much. So thank you, Robbie, for that observation about how we might deal with the election, an option to boycott it. Thank you so much all for listening to your community radio station. This has been More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. Take care.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Election season is here, and at KBOO, we want Portlanders to be prepared to face